Wouldn't it be great to have a podcast with a qualified host who can turn complicated tax content into easy to understand everyday examples? Well, finally, there is. Welcome to Talking Tax with Aidan Moran, covering everything taxation from individual to corporate, income tax, corporation tax, capital taxes, and everything in between. This is Talking Tax with Aidan Moran. Now here's your host, Aidan.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast from taxexams.ie. Today we're going to look at the area of benefit in kind, and in specifically we're going to look at the area of company cars and company vans and the charge to BIK, benefit in kind, that may arise. So a benefit in kind, well, firstly, it can arise where an employer is providing a non-cash benefit to an employee. And all BIKs are going to be treated as notional pay. So they're additional payments which will be included on the payroll and will be subject to tax in the normal way. So they'll be subject to PAYE, PRSI, and USC. So today, specifically in relation to company cars, well, a charge to BIK may arise based on the free personal use of a company car. So where an employee is able to use a company car for their own private purposes. And the liability, well, that will be calculated by calculating what's known as the cash equivalent. And we calculate this cash equivalent by looking at the OMV, the original market value. The what? The original market value, which really is the original list price of the car when it was first registered. So when it was first off the factory line, what was the list price of the car, including any VAT or VORT and VORT? So I don't really care about the second hand or third hand or the fourth hand value. I don't necessarily mind what price the company paid for the car. Usually it's the list price of the car when it was first registered. So that's the item one. I need to know the original list price of the car. Fine. The second thing I need to know is a specific percentage. And this percentage, it ranges from 6% to 30%. And the amount is dependent upon the annual business kilometers driven by the employee in that year. So you'll note a couple of things. There's maybe five or six really important things in them couple of words. I said annual, which means 12 months. Because so many students do not realize that there are, in fact, 12 months in a year. Yep, there's 12 months in a year. Most students doing exams don't realize that. And I'll explain why. The second thing is going to be business kilometers. So if I'm talking about private use, or I'm talking about traveling from home to work, which is personal, it's not a business trip, I need to exclude that. So I need to know my business kilometers driven in a year. And I'll include the chart on my website. But in short, if you drive under 24,000 business kilometers in a year, the rate is 30% of the OMV. If you drive between 32 and 40, it's 18% of the OMV. I'm not going to list them all out for you. There's maybe five rates depending on the business mileage or kilometers. So to recap, we need to know two things. One, the OMV. Two, the rate. And the rate is dependent upon the business kilometers. Okay. And just remember that, again, there's one common mistake that students regularly forget, that there's 12 months in a year. So we may need to get an annual equivalent in relation to business kilometers. For example, let's say an employee receives a car on the 1st of July 22, and he travels, say, 18,000 kilometers in the period July to December. So between July and December, he drives 18,000. Well, what would his annual equivalent be? Well, if he drove 18,000 in 6 months, surely he would drive 36,000 in 12 months. Therefore, you would be using an entirely different percentage. You wouldn't use 30% of the OMV, you would use 18%. Because remember, there are 12 months in a year. The BIK liability, once I multiply the two figures together, well, this can be reduced. It can be reduced by any payments made by the employee to the employer. So that's a very, very straightforward transaction from the employee going to the employer. Full stop. So what I'm saying is that there's no deductions for any other payments. So if the employee was to, say, pay the road tax to the motor tax office, or they pay the repair cost to the mechanic, or they pay the fuel cost to their local petrol station, none of them payments can reduce the BIK because it was not paid by the employee to the employer. The payment must go directly from the employee to the employer. Of course, you could have the employer pay the mechanic, the road tax, and the fuel. And in return, the employee can reimburse the employer. And that would count. That would be allowed as a deduction. And if these deductions, if the amounts paid by the employee to the employer, if that exceeds the cash equivalent, then that excess amount can be carried forward by the employee in future years. To reduce down the benefit. What is a car? And it's important to note what a car actually is. Can you picture a car? Because a car is not the same as a bus. It's not the same as a ship. It's not the same as an airplane. It's not the same as a jumbo jet. A car is not the same as a van either. And so many students don't realize that. Because if you're dealing with cars, you've got one set of rules. If you're dealing with vans, you've got another set of rules. And if you're dealing with any other asset, well, you have another set of rules again. But I'm not going to go into that yet. A car is a car. And don't let the examiners confuse you. Just this week, this has been recorded in September 2022, the Tax Appeal Commissioner confirmed there was a case in the courts that it was a tax appeal and a Land Rover 4x4 should be regarded as a car. The taxpayer was trying to argue for various reasons, which I won't get into, that the Land Rover should not be regarded as a car nor a van, that it falls outside our legislation. If we look at the legislation, a car means any mechanically propelled road vehicle constructed or adapted for the carriage of passengers. Section 121 of our TCA. Just by the way. Wait till we have a little look at a bicycle. Our legal definition for that is quite interesting. And it's quite a mouthful. But anyway. Okay. There's an alternative. So I'm thinking that if I'm traveling under 24,000 kilometers in a year, and I'm thinking that, it's a 30% of the OMV, of the original market value. And I'm thinking, is that really fair? Because if I'm in the country, fine, I might travel a lot. But if I'm in a city, then I might spend a lot of time traveling, but the distance that I travel might not be too much because of traffic. So there's an alternative, or there's a little discount. So employees who meet certain conditions can get a 20% reduction in the amount chargeable to BIK. There's a couple of conditions. They need to spend at least 70% of their time working out of the office. They need to travel at between 8,000 and 24,000 kilometers a year. They must work at least 20 hours a week and they must maintain a log. If they meet them conditions, they can get a 20% reduction of the BIK. So let's say for a moment that the BIK was, let's say, 5,000, then we could take a 20% reduction if we meet them conditions. So instead of being taxed on the 5,000, we'd be taxed on 20% less, which would be a reduction of 1,000. So it would be 4,000 BIKable. Would you want to get a car? Would you want to be given a car from an employer? The cost of diesel and petrol in the last couple of months is absolutely crazy. Would you like an electric car? Of course you would. Why? Because there's no BIK on electric cars or vans, up to certain limits. And you know the way I said electric, because they must be fully electric. So hybrids don't count to this. This exemption applies to electric cars and vans only. And there's a full exemption for electric vehicles, provided the OMV is under 50,000 euro. If the OMV exceeds 50,000, then the first 50 is disregarded from the calculation. So, for example, if my employer gives me an electric vehicle with an OMV of 70,000, I will only be subject to BIK on the 20,000. 70 minus 50 is 20. My employer might also supply the electricity at my place of work to charge my electric vehicle, and that's also exempt from BIK. Sometimes employers might give pooled vans or cars, and there's no BIK on pooled vans or cars, provided that they are available to and actually used by more than one employee. The private use must be incidental, and the vehicle must not be kept in the vicinity of the employee's home overnight. So they can't really be private cars. What about a van? We mentioned vans. And when the employer tells you the business kilometers of the van and this rate and that rate, and ignore it. Because a van is not a car, and therefore the car rules do not apply to vans. It's a lot more straightforward. And the BIK on a van is simply 5% of the OMV. And we don't really care about the distance traveled. Again, there's no BIK in an electric van. And remember, the limit's over 50,000. Nor is there any BIK where the employee is required to keep the van at home. And if they're away from the base for more than 80% of the time, and there's no private travel. So people often think that BIK on, let's say, cars is quite straightforward. It's not necessarily. There's a number of nuances. There's a number of different things that examiners can catch you out. And they do. In fact, the whole area of BIK, is quite important. And there are a number of different areas that I'll be covering in my podcasts in relation to BIK. For example, there might be, I'm thinking employee expenses, I'm thinking accommodation, I'm thinking preferential loans, I'm thinking medical premiums, I'm thinking the free use of assets, I'm thinking of the housing crisis around the free use of accommodation, very common in practice. And then I'm thinking of lots of exemptions and exceptions from BIK, which will be covered in additional sessions. So as always, thank you very much for listening, guys. I hope you had some value out of this. Please get in touch if you have any queries, comments, concerns, issues. And always check out my website, taxexams.ie. I will have lots of resources there, lots of examples. And if I can help you in any way, please reach out. My contact details are there, info@taxexams.ie. Thank you for listening, and goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Talking Tax with Aidan Moran. Aiden is a fully qualified chartered accountant, a chartered tax advisor. He's a full-time tax and accounting lecturer and has over 15 years working in the area. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us at taxexams.ie. For questions and comments, send an email to info@taxexams.ie and join our Facebook group at Tax Accounting Training. See you next time.